Stupid mentalist.
Is David still with us?
I am.
There you
David,
are.
David, how are you doing? David.
Hey, Cam.
I don't think you know how much I've seen of you the last couple of weeks watching some of your old videos.
I don't. What do you mean? You mean real magic stuff?
I've been enjoying some of your real magic videos.
Oh,
recently. Thank
you. Well, that's great to hear.
I've always enjoyed that. Even though that I don't do children's shows, I just like watching. I think I just like David. I like watching him, and he's so clever, and he's got. I like what you're talking about. You know?
Thank you.
Hey, well, let me get things started over here. First of all, okay, I'm going to tag it. You guys about ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Is it then it's us four, that's it?
Yep.
Okay.
For now, and then if Chase wakes up from whatever drug-induced coma.
I see.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and this is a very special episode, and I thought it'd be a good idea to try to get the band back together from the days of the Magic Newswire and This Week in Magic with Scott. Hello, Scott. Okay, he's there. He's around. Technology is great. And, of course, we've got Cameron Ramsey. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, Scott? Everyone in podcast land, I just want to point out 2 years later and Skype still sucks.
It hasn't been 2 years since we did one of these.
There's Dodd Vickers. You can hear him now. I don't know what happened. Hey, David Kay also. Silly Billy, you there?
I am here.
You sound the best.
I've been sitting at my computer for 2 years waiting for the phone to ring.
The cobwebs.
It really hasn't
growing. Been
2 years since we did one of these,
yes,
has it?
Has. Yes, it has.
No way.
Yeah, remember we did the end of the year thing with you?
Yeah, I guess
we
so.
Made the call to all those guys all over the world, and you had that was a great episode.
That's true.
By the way, that podcast also took 2 years.
And it only took 4 years to edit.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I don't know how many hours that must have been. Well, you know, last year I did an interesting thing. It was the end of the world, you know, podcast type of thing. You know, we're expecting, what was that, December 21st or something. And so I had contacted people, and that ended up being like about a 6 or 8 hour podcast. And so I broke it up into several hours, obviously, just talking to different people. But
geez, you're worse than me, Scott.
Yeah, that got to be a little bit longer.
And so it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh my God! Please have the world end instead of another hour of this podcast.
Well, listen, I'm just glad that you guys have gotten back together, and I thought that I have been asked because I've been going to conventions, and what's Dodd been up to? What's he been doing? And where have you guys been? We sure missed you. And I said, well, you still got the archives. You can go back and listen. Said, yeah, but I want some fresh stuff. So I thought it'd be a good idea to kind of give everyone out there kind of an update on who's doing what.
It's great.
So let me.
I think it's Cameron on his cell phone on Sprint or something. I'm not sure.
A, I'm on Wi-Fi. Okay.
Are you in a hotel as well as David? I mean, as well as Chase?
Actually, what's awkward is me and Chase are in the same hotel room.
You're not in the same bathroom, are you?
No, same bed. Same bed.
I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead. What were you asking?
Okay, I was going to ask you then, Dodd, that people have been asking me about the Magic Newswire and what's been happening and where has Dodd been. And I said, man, he's been working on the movies there in Atlanta. So tell us kind of what you've been up to.
Well, you know, the main thing that happened with regard to the Magic Newswire was Mevio, who was the hosting provider for the files that we, you know, all the 340 or so interviews that we posted over the years, decided to close their doors to producers that were not developing video content. Hmm. So with no notice, we suddenly found ourselves locked out. And I started scrambling, trying to find a new host for them, trying to recover all the files. And if you can imagine the number of links that I had to go try and rebuild throughout the Magic Newswire and linking page websites, to linking to each one of those individual interviews, as well as getting a lot of them re-uploaded to a new hosting provider, and I'm still not done. I just haven't had the time to finish. I get emails almost daily from someone trying to play one of the interviews, and it's not working. Hmm. So I do my best to find a minute to go find that interview, upload it to the new provider, go back, find the links to it on the website and rebuild those links. But I'm still in the process of doing that. But fortunately, they're all online, whether it's at Mevio or the new hosting providers at Libsyn. it's pretty transparent to the users. So just go to the feed. As I find the old archive shows and upload them, you'll see them appear as if they're new episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good way to notice if something shows up online. But I got about the same time my world blew up with work. And I work in the film industry, and Atlanta has become the place everybody in the world wants to make a movie. And
porn so industry, by the way.
Now, the porn industry, I guess, is still out in L.A., isn't it, Cameron?
Nice one.
But kind of bit me right back in the ass, that joke, huh?
Oh, I have that bow, one.
Bow.
So yeah, it's just been constant. And this is like the first time I've had a few days off. I mean, and in spite of that, I mean, we moved the day after Thanksgiving into a new house. And then the following Monday, we left for Disney World. I just got back from Disney World Saturday, actually. And so this is like the most time I've had off. And I've got like a week and a half until Christmas and New Year's. And then I go back to work on a new feature. So it's been a little crazy here.
Well, David and I were talking with you just off air before we started recording here about some upcoming things, and you said that you've been working not only in movies but also television shows and things.
Mm-hmm.
And you said Marvel is moving to Atlanta?
Well,
or what?
Marvel has been here scouting. They were looking at a couple of places for a potential East Coast studio, and there's a studio here that's looks like a manufacturing facility, but is actually being used as a studio. It's where Hunger Games has been working.
Hmm.
Fast and Furious 7 was filming there until the unfortunate accident that really canceled that production. And now Ant-Man is in the process of getting established here, and they're going to be filming coming up this year. I'm working on a project called Testament. I just finished a TV show called Unreal. If you saw Prisoners with Hugh Jackman, that was filmed here. I finished that earlier in the year. Internship that came out all about Google with
Vince Vaughn.
It's just been a crazy year.
Now, what specifically then are your responsibilities?
I'm a location manager, so everybody thinks of a scout initially, but typically I'm the guy that hires the scouts. I do scouting, but we have to find the place to film. We're the first ones on the ground and the last ones to leave, so we find where we're going to film. We deal with the contracts, all the logistics, the liability issues, the insurance. We're on site managing it while we're filming to make sure whoever owns the property is happy with what we're doing and that we're not tearing things up. And when we leave, it's in as good or better shape than it was before we started. So it's pretty all-encompassing. We're kind of the guys that give them a place to come do their job.
Well, I think it'd be kind of helpful, obviously, to have a person not only on the ground, but someone who has lived there and knows the place, because you may know a house or somebody's mansion or some part of town or an alleyway or something you've driven down, or you're just like, oh, yeah, I think this might work, and yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely, and everybody's coming here from L.A. There's just no work in L.A. right now or New York, and they're coming here, and they don't know where things are, who to call, and so fortunately they're employing locals, and that's great for the local economy. I mean, it's as I mentioned to you guys earlier, it was about $3.2 billion spent in Georgia in the film and television industry last year. And
that's billion with a B. Wow.
Yes, and it's been huge for the local economy. So you think of all the jobs, all the gas that's been bought, all the money spent at a Home Depot or a Lowe's, just all the things that go into making a movie and all of that being spent here in Georgia, it's just amazing.
It's because the tax breaks and everything else, I guess, are more lucrative there than leaving in California. So
yeah,
people
their dollar goes a lot further when they have those kinds of incentives. So.
Interesting. And so you have not been doing anything as far as the Magic Newswire with new material other than just trying to get the old archives kind of back up and online then again.
And I miss it. And that's why I'm shocked that it's been 2 years that we've since we've actually talked. It's hard to believe because I have talked to you guys, but to actually sit down and do a formal recording with the group, I've done a couple of interviews that were posted after that, I know, and I've been very disappointed that I haven't been able to find more time to put out some more interviews. But the good news is, fortunately, I've got some support from a third party. We're actually in the process of migrating the Magic Newswire blog and all of the archives over to Bill Kalush's Conjuring Arts Research Center. And he's going to have them all transcribed as well, so they'll be searchable on Ask Alexander.
Wow.
So you can find, hey, here's Johnny Thompson talking about whoever. Whatever you're looking for, if it's in one of our interviews, eventually it'll be searchable.
Hold on. I just thought of an issue with that, David.
What's that?
Scott, I don't know. But you're not everything we said is going to be transcribed, right? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Nothing I said is going to be transcribed. Please. I just, you know, I do have, you know.
There will eventually be full text transcriptions of everything you said on the podcast.
I may have to take a drive up to New York and see who is doing that transcribing. Ooh, I've been trying. We are hyped.
When you search for Ramsey subtlety, Cameron Ramsey comes up and you just can't believe it.
And we're back to talking about the porn industry in California.
No.
I mean, Dodd, you really didn't say what shots you really knew that well about in Georgia. You just said sites itself. So I was leaving it open to you also.
So anyway, that's the big news. I mean, start watching for more announcements from Bill and Conjuring Arts and me. But the plan is to get back on track with at least one interview a month. I'm sure there'll be more than that once we get going again. But I don't want to mention any names, but there's some people involved at Conjuring Arts that have already, you know, committed to being involved in future interviews and possible group interviews where they get involved in bringing other people in to have a group conversation. So I think it's going to be great for the content that we put out there. And I'm really proud of the archive we have. And I do get emails all the time. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to let people know what's been going on and to let them know there's more coming. And I apologize for the hiatus, but it's just been overwhelming, the amount of work. And when you don't have any idea of the kind of hours we work, because it's certainly not a 9-to-5 job. It's very often 6 or 7 days a week and minimum of 12 to 14 hours a day when you're in production.
What takes so long during the daytime? I mean, once that you have found the location, I mean, it would just be clean up on the backside. So
No. We're there the whole time they're filming. So, you know, if we have a 7 o'clock call time, that means I'm usually getting there at 4 in the morning and I'm not leaving until 6 or 6:30 in the evening.
But what do you do?
Well, we're on site. We're on site managing. I mean, I've got to be there to open up. I've got the catering place where we're feeding the crew that has to be opened and make sure that the church or wherever we're working is happy with us. And
even,
you know,
down
just
to the crazy things like, hey, Dodd, where's the bathroom today?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's, I always joke. I said, what locations does is where do we park? Where do we poop? Where do we eat? And where do we go to work? You're running back and forth between all those various locations. You're on site while things are filming. Anytime a question comes up, because as you can imagine, it's a dynamic process.
Right.
Somebody wants to change a scene. Suddenly you want to go into a different room that you never talked to the homeowner or the business owner about filming in.
Right.
And suddenly you've got to go talk to them and negotiate that and handle it. And so there is a lot of downtime sitting on set, but it's not like you can go do something else. You're sitting there waiting to be called upon.
Now, Doug,
so it's a weird job. It's really hard to explain.
Do you find it different? Because now with people in LA, like the homeowners that are used to renting out their places are kind of used to the whole deal. Mm-hmm. In Georgia, are they kind of, is it interesting working with a fresh talent, meaning the house owner or a location?
They're a little more enthusiastic about it than they probably will be in 5 years. You know, they're all excited about it. There's a few areas that have been overfilmed and they're a little tired of seeing the movie trucks pull up in their neighborhood. Because, you know, we're there so early and we're there so late and we've got lights and we've got generators and, you know, we have to get, part of what we do is getting all the permits. We've got to go to the city, make presentations to city councils or county commissioners or deal with the DOT to get permits for lane closures.
Even crazy stuff, just like making sure there's enough power for the whole show.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah. I mean, we don't use any existing power. We power everything from our own systems. So that means I've got to go and apply for noise variances and then I have to go get signatures from all the homeowners within a certain radius and not necessarily me knocking on all those doors, but I'm involved in that process. And then
sounds real fun.
It's, I love it. It's a lot of fun, actually. I mean, there's a lot of boring, tedious parts to it, but it is a lot of fun too. I mean, you know, I just finished Blended, which you may have seen the recent trailer for. I think it just came out a couple of days ago with Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler.
By the way, podcast listeners, if you're playing the every time Dodd drops a name game and drinking as we go along here, you are already wasted.
There's the fun part of that. You know, you're hanging out with these people on a level where it's not like a fan. You're just working right side by side with them. So that's interesting. I've never been terribly starstruck. So it's interesting just to talk to them. You know, I won't drop any more names for you, Cameron, but...
Well, no, wait a minute. You said that you haven't ever necessarily been starstruck, but who is it that has struck you? It's like, wow, I've always wanted to see this person, and now I actually get to work...
Hasn't happened yet.
Oh, really?
I mean, because we have to remember, I worked at the Ritz-Carlton for years.
That's true.
I was the assistant hotel manager, and I met Michael Jackson and Madonna, and I sat and watched Billy Joel play piano for him and 10 friends for 3 hours one night. And
every rapper known to
every football team. I did bed checks on Shaq when he was, you know, brand new player.
Just for the fun.
Every football team, baseball team, anybody that came into town, I had connections to, because that was part of my job. Mm-hmm. And there haven't been too many that I was terribly excited to meet as far as from a Star Trek. It's always interesting to see them, you know, Sylvester Stallone or Schwarzenegger, and you think Schwarzenegger's 6'5", and you realize you're actually taller than him. Those are interesting interactions, but I haven't had one yet.
They even try to go for the AARP discount now when they go to hotels.
Oh, they don't have to. I could tell you stories about what they spend on accommodations. We were talking a little bit about that. I'm very fortunate. I'm very well employed, and I'm having a great time doing it.
Good.
I've got more work than I can. I'm turning down work, and it's a great place to be. And the sad part is that it's taking me away from doing something which I enjoyed doing so much, which was the podcast. And I'm determined to find a way to make time for at least one a month over the next year, if not a little more than that. And I'll be turning to you guys, I'm sure, to help make that happen.
Well, looking forward to that. Well, David, you've been uncannily quiet over there. You're still there, I hope.
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. I just want to wake you up.
I'm listening to Dodd's stories.
With great interest.
With great interest.
Traveling or someplace, I guess. So you've been out a lot this year, traveling abroad.
I had a really great summer. I was on the road for 3 months in August, September, and October. Actually, July, August, September, and October. I had a great time. I was in South Africa for 3 weeks, and I was in Japan for 3 weeks. And then I did a bunch of jumps in the States, different lecturing in different cities in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, you know, I love lecturing at magic conventions because I get to travel around a lot, and that makes me happy.
Now, what is that like when you're going to be lecturing in Japan with the language barrier? I mean, do you have to talk a little slower? You stop partway and then you look at some of them translate?
It's very hard. You know, that's actually kind of a good question because nobody – we don't talk about that too much, but you know, if I have an hour lecture, I have to cut it down to 30 minutes of material because someone else has to say everything that I say. So you can hardly get into much detail when you're giving a lecture in another language. And yes, they provide translators, but, and usually if it's a good convention, it won't be just a sort of a normal translator. It'll be a magician who knows how to translate our vocabulary. Because we don't realize how many words we use that are not normal words.
Just shop talk.
Yeah. But, I have to say, you know, it's fun to travel, but it's not a great lecture. Because you don't have enough time to get through what you want to get through because everything's cut in half because everything has to be said twice.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, David, you know, something I never thought about before, but performing for Japanese children or children in any other country, culturally we're so different. Do you find it to be that different performing for children in other countries, or do you find that magic's kind of a universal language?
No, I wouldn't say that magic is a universal language. What I would say is that I think that children are the same all over the world. Magic might be a universal language, especially silent magic. Obviously, requires no translating. But I've performed magic in about 24 non-English speaking countries. And it's amazing how well the show goes, including Japan. Let's see. I wrote about this in one of my Genie columns, and I just think it's one of the most interesting topics. I say that children from other cultures and other languages are more similar than adults of other cultures and other languages.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because children are pure and are not adulterated by
nature.
Not their nature, environment. But their environment.
Nature versus nurture.
Right. So children, I just think it's fascinating. Children are the same all over the world. Children's magic typically has very simple plots. And because the plots are simple, even if I perform a trick in English, children who don't speak English still understand what's taking place.
Right.
And that's a characteristic of children's magic. Also, even when I perform children's magic in English, the vocabulary words that I use are very simple. I don't, I speak in whatever it is, the 500 basic words or 1,000 basic words, whatever it is. But so the vocabulary is easy to understand. The plots are easy to understand. If you do physical humor, a lot of children's magic has physical comedy in it. Obviously, that's universal.
Jerry Lewis was popular over in Japan. He did slapstick. He was huge over there.
And in France.
Oh, was it? France, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's the same. It's a very good example. Jerry Lewis performed, obviously, in English, and the crazy antics would translate all over the world. I am always, always surprised at how well the shows go when I perform in other languages. Plus, I will add that when I perform in England, I don't have as much success. And I can't figure it out. I think it may be my accent, but non-English speaking countries, I have very good success. It's very interesting.
Has the caveman act translated?
I've never done the caveman act in another language.
So, other than grunts and giggles.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry, Japanese listeners.
And so you have been doing your lecture or working at conventions, or you've been doing private shows or these travels. What have you been doing?
Well, this is the joy of being self-employed. I do my convention. I do, whatever it is, 4-day convention.
Yeah.
And then I stay and I take a week vacation. And I was lucky enough, very, very lucky, to go on a safari in South Africa for 4 days. And that is something I would recommend to everybody. It's unbelievable to go on a safari. It's life-changing, especially for an urban person mm-hmm. like myself.
Right, a squirrel is kind of exotic to you, I think, in New
York. Yes. Mm-hmm. A squirrel climbing a tree is keeps me entertained for hours at a time.
You're so silly, Billy.
But no, the safari is fantastic. Oh, God. I think that we professional magicians need to stop every once in a while and take account of how stock of, how really amazing our lives are sometimes, especially someone who can travel, perform, professionally and travel. I had a really great few months in the middle. So I did shows in the beginning of the year. I did shows. The end of the year, I'm doing shows, and in the middle, I was gone. And it was a really good year.
What was the most bizarre creature you saw on safari?
Bizarre creature.
I'm not talking about Derek Lever.
Yeah.
Or Craig Mitchell.
Craig Mitchell is the guy down in South Africa.
I'm just talking about bizarre creatures, regardless of their geographic location.
I tell you, it was like being in a... I don't know what it was like. I saw when you go.
It was like the Brooklyn Museum in real life.
Yeah, I know. That's Brooklyn what it feels Zoo. Like. When you go to on the safari, they give you this book, and in the book they have a checklist, and every time you see one of the animals, one of the species, you check it off. And I saw 20 different mammals. Wow. Unbelievable. Nothing crazy. What was the question? Nothing crazy or unusual. There's a bird called a guinea hen.
Oh, sure.
You know what a guinea hen is?
Yes, we have them here in Georgia. Yeah.
We had them in Texas, of course.
Oh God, do you see how sheltered my life is? I can't believe you have. To me, this was a very exotic animal.
Yeah, they can get to be about as large as a turkey.
Well, then I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going
to
tell you.
This just shows to you how well developed the American zoo system really is nowadays.
They've escaped and they're living in Georgia.
Yes. You know what's interesting about the animals in South Africa is you can see their scars from their battles. Maybe you have this in all over the country also, but it's fascinating to me to see these animals, you know, with like claw marks, zebras and an antelope with claw marks on their
back. That's something I've never seen.
Ooh, it's crazy. Yeah.
Did you get to go to the School of Magic and see Craig by any chance?
I did. The convention was in Johannesburg, and the safari was in near Johannesburg. But I also went down to the College of Magic, which is in Cape Town.
Yeah.
And the College of Magic is an amazing, amazing place. Let's see. The townships where the black people were forced to live during apartheid is where most of them still live, and they are in very, very bad shape. And so the College of Magic takes some of these kids who live in these awful, awful conditions, in many cases without water and without electricity, and gives them this clubhouse where they go after school and they learn magic. And I don't think any of us can imagine how much of a difference something like that can make in someone's life. They're talented kids, they're learning, they have friends, they get fed, and they're learning a skill that if they're good enough, they can use, even if they're not that good, you know, they still probably can use to make some money when they get older. It's really, really an amazing situation. And the College of Magic, I think, deserves much more attention than it gets in the magic world. It's really changing lives. It's fascinating. And and it's all based around magic. It's a beautiful building. There's classrooms. There's theaters. There's a cafeteria. There's a yard. It's just one of these. It's just a great place, and it's a safe environment. It's a nurturing environment. So yes, I would say the College of Magic needs more attention. It's really fantastic what they're doing.
I know that the College of Magic certainly needs to have as much exposure as it can. I know Banachek and David Berglas have been some of their financial proponents in trying to bring awareness, certainly to the school. It really does a lot of good.
Yeah, it's,
well, I'm glad
it's
you got
amazing.
To go.
It is the purest sense of magic really changing lives. It's unbelievable. So yes, these kids, I don't want to keep going into it, but these kids, their lives are such a mess without it.
Sure.
They can't walk to school because they get robbed every day. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff. Anyway, College of Magic is in Cape Town in South Africa. If you ever hear anything about it, look it up. It's they do some great, great work down there. I was proud to be part of it.
Yeah. So you've been keeping busy, so it sounds like, then, this whole year. So anything planned then for next year? You're going to be going out of the country? You're going to have a chance to kind of stick around and maybe make a few conventions locally, nationally?
Yes, I have a new book coming out in July. And in the second half of the year, I'm going to be going to a lot of conventions in the U.S. to promote the book. So that's going to be very exciting.
Cool.
Starting off with a lecture at the combined convention in
St. Louis.
Yeah.
I will see you there. That sounds great. Yes. And so will this be like part two of your first book?
It's going to be a compilation of my columns from Magic Magazine.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So
kind of like Jeff McBride to put together that Ask the Doctor or whatever the doctor's in.
I just want to say for all of our podcast listeners, if you are a member of Real Magic, I don't want to, you know, toot someone's horn here, but go back and listen to a Silly Billy's column.
Toot. Go right ahead.
I just went and listened to him for most of them for the first time recently, and I was I learned a lot, and I enjoyed all of it. So even if you know stuff about the thumb tip, it's 20 minutes of entertainment.
Thank you.
Are you still doing that with Real Magic?
Yes, I am, except that when I travel, I can't record episodes, which means that I'm in a vacuum. There's going to be about 6 month period that I will not be in Real Magic.
Do you usually record those with Simon? I have to ask, because I always feel like you're just staring at him the whole time.
Well, we used to record them in Phantasma. Mm-hmm. Simon would record his segments, and I would record my segments, and we would both be in the store. So those were really fun, and the two of us would, love to play off each other. Now we shoot them in my house in Connecticut, which is closer to where the cameraman lives. So it's not as much of a trip as to getting into Manhattan. So then it's just me and the cameraman, and I'm making jokes into the air, and I don't know if they're funny or not. It's much more fun to try to make Simon laugh, you know, while I'm recording. Much more fun. But I don't know if you could tell, but some of them we shot in Phantasma. And others in my house, in my living room up there.
And do you shoot those? When I was talking with Simon about that he would shoot like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months, you know, at a time. I mean, you know, since it's a bi-monthly, TV magazine.
Yes. Simon's segments last about 3 or 4 minutes, which is why he can shoot 3, 4, 5, and 6 at a time.
Multiple.
I used to shoot one at a time, then they upped it to 2 at a time, and now we're trying to shoot 3 at a time, and it's a whole day.
Yeah.
But it makes sense to do 3 at a time. Obviously, the guy that has to do the traveling, he comes down. We all work really hard, just like Dodd was talking about with the movies. You put in a really long day, and you get it done, and then you don't have to do it again.
Manager of the your ride?
Yeah, I need one. So in January, I'll be shooting 3 new ones, and those will hit, February, March, something like that. But there is going to be a lull because I've been gone for so long.
Yeah.
People don't realize what goes into any kind of production. I mean, when we work, you know, we work 12, 14-hour days, we get 3 to 5 minutes of film.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's I don't know what to say, except it takes a long time to shoot mine. That's all I know. I write them. I got to memorize the words.
Sure.
I want to make it funny. I want
to do it right and make it interesting.
Yeah,
and
I want to make it
great. Get the production quality proper. It takes a lot more work than people realize.
That's one of those things. I don't think people really do realize how much time that takes. And you're talking about just one individual segment, and then you look at the whole thing of each issue, you know, of Real Magic. My gosh. You know, and it's, what, $5 a month or something?
Yeah, he does like 2, 2.5 hour issues. The issues are really – It's I've always said this. It's one of the best deals in Magic. Now it's even better deal because you download them off the internet instead of waiting for the discs to arrive in the mail. They used to be $10 for the disc, and now, as you say, Scott, it's $5 a month. What, to be a member?
Mm-hmm. Talk about a sponsorship, right?
Unlimited.
You're getting a free. I pay for this thing, you know that?
What is the price, Cam?
And it's well worth it, isn't it?
It's $5 a month. Here we go. I'll give you the 30-second ad, and then we can keep on going here. For $5 a month, you get the normal Real Magic magazine, Real Magic video, plus bonus content like lectures, extra footage, and other stuff called bonus content, but only available on realmagic.com.
There we go. That was well read.
That was beautiful. Sign me up.
So
it sounds like you've been doing some work for Real Magic, Cameron.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what have you been doing there, Cam?
Actually, I just, you know, had a couple hours to kill in the airport, so I was on a website.
And you memorized
it. And if you spend 30 seconds with Cosmo, you get that same sales pitch also.
Yeah, at a convention or any time you see him.
He's a good guy.
He really
is. Oh, he's incredible.
Yeah.
Hey, he's a lot like you, Dot, and Scott as well, in that you all three, you know, take a lot of your personal time. Yes, you spend a lot of your free time doing something that doesn't necessarily make you money, but you do it because you love it and you love magic.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
And that's, you know, it's wonderful to have people like that.
Yeah, and I know he and I have talked about it, and it's flattering to get the feedback you get when you're doing something you love and you're not getting paid for it. It's you know, the emails I get even today, you know, we haven't done a podcast in however long, and getting these emails periodically going, hope you're bringing them back. Where's this episode? I really enjoy these. And it's just really flattering. And it's one of the things that's motivating me to
make sure
that
I love going to
a
magic convention and someone seeing my name and they're shocked by how tall I am because they never assumed that via a podcast.
Well, I'm glad that they remember your name from my podcast. I'm doing something right.
They're like, oh, you're the annoying child. I thought you were 14.
Well, glad to hear you haven't changed in the last 2 years since we've been doing this. But, Cam, at least you and I have seen each other this last year.
I enjoyed doing this character, by the way, again. I am having a ball doing this.
You know, Dave and I were just saying that we hadn't seen each other all year because he's been out of town, of course. And so what have you been up to over the last year here, Cam?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say that David just talked about, you know, incredible stuff going on in Africa. And saving the world.
You've just been hanging out in the closet, yeah.
And then you throw it to me going on working in the porn industry.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
The Ramsey subtlety. Somebody has to be able to perfect that.
RamseySubtleties.com. So Cameron's had an incredible 2 years. He's gotten to meet and work with some of the people we've listened to on the podcast. I guess you can, you know, I've been doing my performing still during the Christmas time. I know we're all whores during this time, but... I guess I can say I got to work with Andrew Main on his incredible show on A&E coming out in January called Don't Trust Andrew Main. And I've also gotten to do some consulting for other magicians that are trying to do that same path. So a lot of the last 2 years of my life has been splitting time between little old my you know home state of Rhode Island and then Las Vegas and Los Angeles. And I suggest all of you guys, if you haven't done it before, you have to go on a 3-day safari in Compton, California. It's an incredible adventure. I received that line for the last 15 minutes, by the way. No, well, I mean, I really, you know, I've gotten, you know, if some of the old podcast listeners remembers, you know, good old Johnny Thompson, I really got to meet him through this podcast. And, you know, we made all those jokes then, but then got to spend tons of quality time with Johnny Thompson, and build up that relationship elsewhere. And it was an incredible experience and something I won't really forget. And a lot of it dates back to just hanging out with you, all you old guys.
Online.
That was a Freudian slip to your porn days with the Johnson.
Johnson, yeah. Big Johnson.
Spending a lot of time with the Johnson.
But, you know.
This is so much fun. You know, we're not like a family like at Thanksgiving where we fight with each other. Instead, we're a kind of family where we laugh with each other.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's hilarious. Like, I got to see David, I don't know, every March or so, we always see each other. And it's like nothing's changed at all. I mean, I saw Scott this summer. I'm still not sure Dodd Vickers is a real human being yet. but someday it'll happen.
Cameron, I think I'm doing a convention with you in the second half of next year. Are you booked for anything?
I mean, I haven't been told about it yet, so we should.
I thought I saw your name.
Okay.
Daytona? Are you working Daytona?
Okay. No, I'm probably not.
No, I'm being serious. All right.
No, I'm telling you, I'm not.
All right.
You should. You should call them tomorrow.
Yeah, I should call them. Maybe I'll give a ring a ding ding to Daytona and see if anyone wants me.
They'll say Cameron who. This is the guy from the podcast.
Sure, actually,
oh, yes.
If you want to talk about it, I'm sure that's a Freudian slip that's happened once or twice in the magic industry before. Maybe Cameron Francis, because he is down in that neck of the woods.
Oh, interesting. I may have made that mistake.
It has happened before.
I apologize. If that's the mistake, I apologize.
If check clears, let me know.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's one other fellow, of course, who is missing, and I know some people may be listening and waiting to when he's going to be coming in. That's Chase Goforth, and unfortunately that he has, I guess, flu-like symptoms. I believe, Dodd, you said you had chatted with him, and he was just completely unable to make
it. Yeah, he was trying to he's also traveling, so he's in a hotel. He's sick. He said it would necessitate him recovering from the medications he's on, getting dressed, going down to the business center, and getting an internet connection and sitting there to do this thing. And he said he just didn't know if he was up to it. So
yeah.
He said he was going to try to pop in at some point. So we're keeping our eye on Skype to see if he shows up.
Well, he's been traveling quite a bit. And as I recall, he had a couple of films out, some documentaries.
He did. He's got his own projects. He's had some real success on the local film circuit with a couple of his projects. I was hoping he'd be here to talk about them.
That's what I was hoping as well, because I recall there was something I thought that Penn Jillette had really enjoyed and endorsed one of his films.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's talk about what happened during the year. I mean, Magic Live had a great event this year where we saw Scott. That was one of my highlights. Another highlight for me was seeing the David Blaine special for the first time in 6 years or so.
Yeah, that was a good special. I like when what was electrified too, right? He did his Big Dell getting electrified earlier this year.
Yes, yeah, that was a live event basically.
Yeah, I flew up and saw him for the day and got to talk to him while he was being shocked to death and watched him get zapped while he tried to drink a glass of water. But it was it was nice to get up there and see what was going on. It's the first time I've ever been able to make it to one of the live events, and he was nice enough to take a minute to, I just mentioned to somebody to say hi and told him Dodd Vickers from the Magic Newswire was here and came up to see him, and they called me back, and they put me on a headphone, and we got to talk for 2 or 3 minutes, and that was a cool event. I mean, I know it was a sponsored event, so it was really about publicizing something else, but it was really interesting. I enjoyed it. You live there, David. I assume you got down there.
I didn't get down there this time. I've seen all the others.
Really?
So all the other ones that he's done, the pole, the ice, the underground, the hanging.
I remember when he did Buried Alive.
Yeah.
And I was just getting going with the linking page.
True and fact. Silly Billy is the stunt devil.
Yeah. I would notice the similarities.
Yeah,
when he had to go to the bathroom, I would take his place buried underneath the thing.
That sounds like a video that we need to make, David. But I remember getting a call from his publicist saying, "Hey, we wondered if you want to send some of your people up here to this thing." And I'm like, "Some of my people? Who do I know?"
Yeah.
Here I am, this guy, this one man act, sitting in his home office doing a website, and they're asking me to send people out to cover an event. I had no idea what to do.
David's your people.
Yeah, apparently, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't know David then. I wish I did.
It was a long time ago. I think it was 99.
It was quite a long time ago.
Buried Alive, I don't know why it feels like it wasn't 14 years ago, but it was.
Yeah, and he sent those little invitations out, the picture of the poster that he wrote on the back, "Please join me, David." I've still got mine.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But that was the first one I got to see. It was and it was interesting. We flew up for the day, and we wandered down to the pier, and it was amazing, the crowd that was gathered and watching him, and it was a cool event. I mean, it got some coverage on the morning shows, but anyway, that was a great event this year. I enjoyed that, and it was fun to see a new special from David, and it was a good special.
I thought it was a great special.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
You're right then, Cam. As far as the convention, I thought Magic Live was very awesome, and there were a couple of highlights. I thought when Kevin Spencer was talking about, the magic of healing, and then also when Joni Spina was talking with Patrick Thearns, and brought him out, kind of brought tears to everyone's eyes, and a couple of highlights, there. It was a very good convention, I thought.
My highlight was, just because of, for the listeners, we've talked to so many of them, was getting to see the reunion show of the, I'm going to say it wrong, the Long Beach Mystics.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. I wish I could have been there for that. That would have been awesome.
They had all of the, most of the performers throughout the years did some parts of sets.
I hadn't seen David Diebel perform before. I was so impressed. It was so fun and funny.
Was Harry Anderson there as well?
Harry was not there.
No. Okay.
I'm going to leave out a lot of people, but obviously, Dana Daniels and, Mike Caveney and Tina Leonard.
What about Jonathan?
No, I'm not sure if he was an actual member of that, to be honest.
I don't think so.
The intro was perfect, to be honest. Before anything started, the music that started, no one in the audience knew at all what the show was going to be. And then you heard the song, "The Boys Are Back in Town." And that moment on, you could hear the, everyone knew at that point, and it was a great show.
And there was another fellow who was a juggler that was, I thought, kind of amazing, in which he was throwing these hats in the air, and he was walking between the rows, not down the aisle, but like excusing himself, past people's knees, as he was throwing these hats up to the ceiling, and they were boomeranging back in his hands as he was walking through. It was an incredible juggler. I can't remember who that was, but that was really kind of a highlight, I thought, for me. A lot of other conventions and things. And talking about the TV shows and everything that you mentioned with David Blaine and others, Chris Angel had a reboot of his television show, in which that it seemed a little bit different on Spike TV than the feel of the way it was produced for A&E. It seems pretty successful.
I like watching it, but I don't think it's much of a magic show.
Here is the thing. Okay, so you got to understand with it's a reality show based on magic.
Right.
Okay. Now don't expect Doug Henning or any David Copperfield. We're talking three decades past it. Okay. He's showing it's Chris and all of his characters, Kristen Lambert, Jesse Feinberg. You're seeing the whole show that goes around a magic trick. It's just like if you're watching Pawn Stars, you're not just seeing a lady walk in, show him a watch, and she gets money. You're seeing the whole business behind Pawn Stars happen.
Right.
And I like that aspect of it a little bit. What is the working behind there? So it's not so much of an interview with somebody saying, well, I don't know that Chris is going to make it through this. This is very dangerous, and he has never tried this before, just talking to the camera. The same conversations are happening, but it seems like more, as you say, Cam, more of a reality type of a thing in which that, the person may be talking kind of to somebody on site saying, oh, this is going to be dangerous. I don't know if Chris is going to make this through it or not. So it seems to have a more gritty feel.
Here's another comment for magicians out there. There is no, in the world of television, there is no category called magic show, okay? There is written content, and then there is non-scripted, which now means reality.
And it's not scripted, is it?
Okay. So there's non-scripted and reality. So even a Doug Henning show, if that took place now in 2013, 14, would be a non-scripted reality show.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And we saw Copperfield. He was on TV quite a bit this year. He was on, the Today Show every Monday? Wasn't it in March of this year?
Yes, doing of course. His Magic Mondays. Movies, when all the movies came out for Magic.
Yeah. Well, and one of the finalists was right here from Houston, Ben Jackson. He gave me some insight kind of what that was all about, and that was a lot of fun. I'd forgotten the lady who had won, the young lady who was a bartender, did something with
Kayla?
Some...
Is her name Kayla?
Yes.
Very nice person.
A New England.
She really is.
If you want to talk about your Texas roots, I'm pretty sure us New Englanders won, by the way, really want to get off.
I didn't want
to drop it on you like that, Scott, but I will now.
Yes.
You mentioned movies. There's, being in the industry, I'm still watching. I mean, there were a lot of magic movies this year.
Yeah.
Magic Mike.
Not all terribly successful, but.
Now You See Me, Burt Wonderstone.
That was probably, Now You See Me was probably the one that did the best.
Yeah.
And still has the best review. Well, it's 50-50 on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience liked it better than the reviewers did.
They're making a second one, so that's all that matters.
Well, it's definitely going to get a second one.
Oh, will they? Interesting.
Oh, they had a $75 million budget. They got $29 million on the opening day. Mm-hmm. Their U.S. gross was about $120 million, and they did $330 million worldwide. That's definitely going to have a second one.
So. Wow.
Amazing.
Well,
Burt Wonderstone, on the other hand, that had a $30 million budget, did $10 million the first weekend, did $24 million worldwide, and $23 million in the U.S. Ouch. Not likely to see a reunion of that one.
I guess not. And I personally like Burt Wonderstone better than the other. I thought the other – in fact, I had – posted something on Facebook and it got deleted. I think something happened. I don't know what, it wasn't me, but I just gave a negative review. I just didn't think it was that great of a film for a variety of reasons. It seemed disjointed. They had an idea of where they wanted to go and just kind of had a bunch of, you know, A-list celebrities. And they thought, okay, they started out with a plan, and then it's like, okay, let's have some action. Let's put them out in the street and have a chase scene or something. They were trying
to develop. Do you think you were looking at it from the eyes of a magician and thinking what's realistic as far as a magic act, or were you thinking of it from a, just like enjoying the film?
That's a good question, fair question. I think they're two separate things. You know, whenever that you're looking at the movie as a magician, I was thinking that's pretty hokey. You're not going to have somebody floating across the stage in a big bubble. And so, okay, that aside, there's certain things that just can't happen. But as a movie goer, I didn't like the movie because of its disjointedness. I felt like, again, that each character was trying to develop himself or herself as a character and then develop his backstory. There were too many things going on. It got to be confusing. In the middle, it got even more confusing. And then at the end, it's like, okay, well, at the end, we want to have this twist. And it'll, you know, and then everybody would be going home satisfied. So it started off very promising. Middle got very jumbled and confused. And then it came home with a good ending. But
it didn't have enough nudity. If you just put a little porn star in all those little descriptions, you would have been all right.
I don't want to neglect the last about 5 to 7 minutes of Burt Wonderstone, mm-hmm. possibly the funniest 5 to 7 minutes of any, well, definitely any magic movie. The scene with was it Burt Wonderstone where the audience falls asleep and they drag them out to this other place? And then am I right?
Yes.
If any of the Magic Word listeners want to be sending Cameron a DVD of either of these movies, I still have not seen either of them.
Really?
Pathetic. Okay. Yeah. It's been a timing issue more than anything.
Well, I guess then the most successful was Oz, The Great and Powerful, which I think Lance Burton consulted on.
Yeah, another movie, in my opinion, fell short of the mark, and I think it's all due to James Franco. I think he is...
Holy crap, at the movies with Scott Wells.
No, he's just not a great actor. You know, of course...
Well, but meanwhile, it had a $215 million budget and pulled in $492 million worldwide.
No doubt.
$235 in the U.S.
Yeah.
Had a $79 million opening weekend.
So it totally shows you, what do I know? They got some of my money. And I went to see it. I'm just saying that I didn't enjoy it. I like the special effects. I liked, Mila Kunis is a great actress. I like the others. It's just, James Franco just seemed very plastic. It just didn't seem believable. It seemed like he was just reading lines to me. I thought the casting was wrong.
You know, it was what I found surprising. I was obviously doing some digging with regard to movies and magic this year, and Hugo, which came out a couple of years ago,
which
we all loved.
Yeah,
it had.
I didn't love it, but I liked it.
I liked it a lot, and it had a $170 million budget, but it only did $183 million worldwide and $74 million in the U.S. And that surprised me. Because it's still one of the highest rated. If you look at something like Rotten Tomatoes, mm-hmm. even the reviewers gave it a 94. The audience gave it a 78. You look at Now You See Me, it got 50% from reviewers and 70% from the audience. And I'm going back going, well, what the heck was wrong with Hugo? Was the timing wrong? Where did the money go wrong? Because I thought that was awesome. And obviously the audience loved it. And that's based on a lot of reviews. It's not like you have 10. I mean, you've got Desperate Acts of Magic, which came out, which I haven't seen. Well, it's only made $7,000 so far.
Yeah, they haven't made their money back, I know.
Yes, but it's a really fun film if anyone...
And it does have great reviews, so I'm anxious to see it. And I talked to Jonathan about it, and he had some comments about it, but I'm anxious to see it.
Jonathan Levitt.
Yes, Jonathan Levitt, not Pendrek.
Hugo, of course, was up for an Academy. I mean, not for Movie of the Year, but I mean for, I think, two or three different... I don't think that it won anything necessarily. I don't recall that it did. But, you know, special effects and for costuming, a few other things, I think that they were up. But, you know, going back to Desperate Acts of Magic, that they, at the IBM convention this year, did something I thought was pretty cool, where they had a movie night. And one night they showed Desperate Acts, and then afterwards they had a Q&A...
Spin the bottle.
With the producer.
Told stories with everyone.
And they also had the other thing that
make believe.
Thank you, David.
That was
And afterwards, that they talked with.
I like that. I did see that, and I have a copy of that. I really enjoyed that.
And then they also had Play Dead, which was the movie, of course, yep. with Todd Robbins. And that was something that could only be shown there, and really cannot go into commercial release for a variety of royalty reasons. And then, of course, Todd talked afterwards. So it was kind of neat having that. Having said all that, I bought a copy of The Desperate Acts, and I did do, actually on the podcast with The Magic Word, and go back and do a search in the archives to, talk, Gold, my mind just went blank with the lady and the...
What about Deceptive Practice? I haven't seen that yet.
That was a very good movie. I like that. Speaking of which, I want to talk in a little bit after we're finished about Ricky Jay and what he's going to be doing in New York City. But go ahead, Dave. What were you going to say?
Joe Gold.
Joe, thank you. Joe Gold. That's him. And Amy Levine or something like
that? Valerie Dillman.
No.
Jonathan Levitt, Sasha Alexander, and John
Joe
Getz.
Gold is not a porn name. I have not heard one before.
I'm reading the DVD yeah. case.
Okay, Joe Gold, but there was another lady who had worked with him that helped produce it. I want to say it was...
Oh, yeah.
What does it say on the case there?
Our name...
Great people.
Yeah, hold on.
And David, I know all you New Yorkers know each other. Did you see Deceptive Practice yet?
Yeah. Did you see it?
Wait a minute. I'm looking for this.
While he's looking
his
for
his girlfriend's name.
That was part of one of the evenings they had.
Let me find my glasses. Where are my glasses?
Tammy. It says Tammy Kaplan.
Tammy Kaplan. Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Kind of like Amy has the AMY in her. Yeah, Tammy Kaplan. Anyhow, yes, the Deceptive Practices.
There were some incredible live shows going on, too. You mentioned Play Dead. That's going on with incredible ratings right
yeah.
now
in
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Derek Delgadio's 52 Shades of Cards in New York.
That's been getting some good reviews, I've heard.
Nothing to hide.
Yeah, thank you, David. I appreciate
that. I don't want that to go uncorrected.
I thought someone was going to catch me on that one, but it just fell.
That counts for the year because they were in L.A. at the beginning of 2013.
They played at the same place Teller's show right now is at the Griffin Playhouse. And I was in L.A.
Geffen.
Because of schedule, but...
Cameron. Playhouse.
Geffen. All right. Okay. You know, that wasn't as big of a deal. But, you know, the first time was a joke. Second time was...
Okay.
So the Geffen Playhouse. That was huge in L.A. It ran months over its original dates. I mean, I was meeting people who weren't into magic or anything that were really just talking about that show. And the same thing's going on in New York now.
Yeah. It is a really great show. It's worthy of every accolade. It's terrific. Every magician needs to see this show.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
And now somebody is going to be taking the show 52 Shades of Card off Broadway too after listening to this podcast.
That's a new DVD, 52 Shades of Red, Shin Lim.
Shin Lim. Yeah.
Look at you. I didn't know you were looking. You
learned bada bing, bada boom.
Are you learning some card tricks there, David?
Wow.
He's still alive.
I don't know what to say, but these things I happen to know.
I know Deceptive Practice is on Hulu.
Oh my God, this new book is all of David Kaye's card manipulation that he does at kids' shows.
So. Well, Deceptive Practices, it was funny. The Ricky Jay actually came through Austin just about a month or two ago, in which they had they were showing that, and he did a Q&A, and I don't know why he was in Austin, but it was kind of a one-off type of thing that he was in town to do that. But I thought it was interesting, and I was talking with several guys afterwards who know Ricky very well, who said that it was interesting that he showed a personal side of himself that typically, you know, he doesn't like people to know, even his friends don't know certain things about his early childhood that he started getting into. And, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the movie, you know, talked about his, you know, wife, introduced her and stuff. I enjoyed it. It was a good documentary. I'd recommend that one.
Yeah, make sure to watch it. I know it's on, it just recently popped up on Hulu and I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I wondered at first if it would be something, you know, that just magicians would enjoy, and I think not. As I was talking with some other people, I think that it was definitely something that people who just like documentaries, you know, like Exit Through the Gift Shop and other kinds of movies, mm-hmm. you know, documentaries, I think that you would enjoy that. But I was going to say something about Ricky Jay because I had read where, you know, Genie Magazine's got a certain thing that you get 10 or 15% off of the, if you subscribe to their magazine, that you can go to Ricky's the weekend with Ricky. It sounds like you get he's going to be in a hotel, and you get your room and food and everything, with this. You know, he will teach you stuff and you get to have one-on-one, you know, conversations and learn about the industry and, I guess what his life and performing. And, it's not just for magicians, it sounds like. You familiar with this? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
It was just recently announced. Scott, did you check the price?
Yeah, I did. It starts at $1,700.
Yeah, $1,800.
Yeah.
$1,800.
Yeah. Well, we get 10%.
So David Kay has already signed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I'm
going to be
a surprise guest.
Obviously.
Those are some disappointed rich people.
You're his double. Him and David Blaine, you stand in for either one.
Sir Richard Branson, who will probably be in it.
I just found the commercial for the Weekend of Ricky online. Here, I'll start to play it for you guys.
Oh my God, it's multimedia.
Hey, that's timing.
That's amazing.
I can't believe that you got that song, by the way, was Hey Ricky until I just had to search it.
I thought that was your ringtone.
I was going to ask Dodd if there are any magic movies coming out in 2014.
I know there's several in development. In fact, the guy that wrote Hugo did the Houdini box.
Right.
And that's been in development for a little while. And I know that The Secret Life of Houdini is in development. There's an untitled Houdini project, which is something about a kid that finds out he's related to Houdini and he's trying to find out more. There's a lot of stuff in development. I don't know of anything coming out in 2014. I mean, Rob Zabrecki, I know he was in a film that's supposed to be released, but I don't think it's magic related. It's How to Catch a Monster. I know that's coming out this year. Cool. And then we've got Hugh Jackman doing Houdini on Broadway. Which
right.
I think Hugh's such a nice guy, and he's a great actor. He's a little tall for Houdini, but hey, it's a musical.
Again, and, if you go to the Sunday matinee of Houdini, his substitute will be Silly Billy.
Will be you.
Silly Billy.
My accent is probably more similar to Houdini's than
that's
Hugh
probably
Jackson.
True.
Understudy. I couldn't think of the word. Understudy.
Hey, this box is so small.
But there's talk about it, and I think Michael Weber's consulting.
And such
that,
small too. Portions. That's funny.
You'll have to ask Mike Weber. I know a couple of you guys know Mike. You should ask him about that because I think he's consulting on that one.
That's cool. Yeah, it could be good.
But I don't know of anything specifically coming out in 2014, David, to answer your question. I know that there were a lot of things in the works, but it all looks like it's still in pre-production. I haven't found anything.
It seems like these things come in waves. The Illusionist, they do. The other one. You're going to see two or three magic movies. Everyone's got to take a deep breath, recover. Then you'll wait another 5 years.
Well, think about it. A couple of years ago, we had like three different Snow White movies.
Yeah.
You know, all coming out at the same time. And there was one that was rumored called Snow and the Seven. I don't know if whatever happened to that, but it was a martial arts film. So.
Wow. It was, what?
The dwarves were like ninjas and Snow White was a, you know, who knows, but I think
Cocaine Queen.
The Hunger Games may have put that one off. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it does. You're right. It comes in waves like that. So I don't know if we'll wait a year or two before we see something else, but those are the only things I know of that are currently in production. Oh, wait, then there's Mandrake too. Mandrake is in works, but that's still pre-production as well. So I think you're looking at 2015 before we see anything.
Now, Tom Cruise, I thought, was tapped out to be Houdini in one of those films. That kind of go by the wayside?
That was the rumor. I can't see him connected to any of them at this point.
There has legit been a rumor of a Houdini movie for at least a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. A couple of them have been in development since 2006. The Untitled
or the
one.
War Magician. That was one that Tom.
Oh, the War Magician is still in the works. The Masculine movie, yeah.
That'd be great. I'd like to see that
one. That's still in the works.
Isn't
but
that
all
the Tom Cruise film?
That might be the one, yeah. It's been
a while
since.
That's actually the one where Tom Cruise grows up to be a real boy.
The only information on the things I have access to in the industry are just so it is option script. It doesn't show anything actually happening on the War Machine.
Oh, my God, wait. Dodd, so the archive person right now, if I said something, will know that I'm talking to them, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, keep going. Mental note. Archive person.
A little late for that.
But no, I don't see anything else coming out movie-wise. And, you know, that's become one of my focuses is kind of looking outside the magic community, looking at how the public sees the magic community, and that's through modern media. So it's through TV, it's through, you know, David Blaine specials, it's through movies. So I try to focus a little less on what the magicians think of each other and pat themselves on the back and a little bit more about what the public thinks of magic. And so I think we look at the records of these movies and we get a feel for what people think of magicians right now.
Very true.
I like that. If we're recapping the year, yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Conjuring Arts Research Center because Bill sponsored some amazing shows in October here in New York.
Yeah.
He brought Mack King in for one day, one show. Then he brought in Zabrecki for one show. He brought in Williamson for one show. There's a fourth, I don't remember. And
where did
he also,
they do those, David? Was that at Monday Night Magic, or where was
no,
it?
No, it was in a small theater also in Greenwich Village called the Axis, A-X-I-S. Okay. It's the same theater that Ossie Wind did his show, which is also a Conjuring Arts production, or should I say a Bill Kalush production. So Ossie did an amazing magic show. I don't think people perceive it to be a magic show if you ask them, but it's a really, really good show. He does some incredible human brain athletics. It's a very interesting show. So Ossie did, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks in October as well. And all awesome. That was just prior to when Nothing to Hide opened. So
the Conjuring Art Studio is an incredible foundation.
They
have the best stuff. Transcribers. They do an incredible job editing everything out of the podcast that does not need to be there.
Going back to
the whole podcast doesn't need to be there.
We can't wrap up a year in review show without talking about some of the people we lost this year, and I don't want it to turn into the death march that it sometimes becomes, but we did lose some great people this year. I mean, Peter Raveen.
John Calvert.
There are just so many. I mean, we could sit here and name them, and we'd still miss people that somebody else would be calling us going, you forgot that person. But every year we lose more and more. And that's one of the reasons that I want to try and do more of these interviews is to make sure we capture a little bit of that history. But who comes to mind for you, David? Who did we lose this year that we should make note of?
I don't remember. Calvert, I remember. Peter Raveen. But I don't.
Scotty York, didn't he pass this year?
Yes.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind for me, of course, locally here in Texas, B. Walker, who it was fairly well known in certain circles and had performed at different conventions and will be missed.
I guess my message is just to those the people that have access. I mean, it's one of the reasons the clubs are still so important. You know, we don't do enough personal stuff. We spend so much time on the internet. But if you have access to the font of wisdom that is one of these older performers who've been around the block a few times, please take time to learn from them and hook up with them at your local club and don't skip that resource because those are some people you will wish you had talked to one day.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I was going to go back rather than leaving us kind of on a down note like that. But another thing that happened, you mentioned Mack King there, David, who had come into New York, that he and Lance Burton and some others had put on a festival in Nashville. So that was a new thing, you know, that hadn't really been tried before.
Yeah, that was Bill Herz put that together.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I heard it was terrific.
I had Thanksgiving at Matt King's house.
Did you really?
Did he know you were there?
Come to find out all these years, I never knew Matt King. My cousin babysits Matt King, and I was in town for Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yes. Talk about a magic convention.
And I saw the picture, and there were, like, I think Norm Nielsen, Johnny Thompson, and
Lance Burton, Amazing Jonathan. It was a magic convention, but just for Thanksgiving. And it's an incredible thing that he puts on every year. And, you know, it's one of those things you'll always remember and, you know, wondering why the hell I was there.
That's awesome.
And remember that funny podcast we did with someone was on the phone at a Mac King.
Oh, we called Mac. We talked to Mac and he passed the phone off.
That was really fun.
Who did he pass the phone off to who walked around the party just talking to
him? I think that was Nathan Burton.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. That's hysterical. Yeah, I'd forgotten that. That's a great episode.
Oh, there was another big thing that happened in Magic this year, and that is the Illusionists. Not in the United States, but they have been touring around the world and destroying box office records. Very, very successful.
It's been so successful, they're doing an Illusionist 2.0 now.
Yeah, yeah. This is really, really amazing for Magic.
I really want to see if it has any luck or... I'm sure they're trying to convert that into America. I know they do have Gay Blackstone's version of it touring the live show. So anyone, Masters of Illusion live tours, and that does well.
Oh, that's the Dan Sperry thing, right?
Nope, Dan Sperry does both. He's like the star of the Illusionist version 1 show now.
Okay.
It has incredible numbers. It sold out the Sydney. You know, that thing in Sydney. whatever that's
Opera
called. House. Yeah, thank you.
Opera House.
Yeah, that was a hard thing to remember. And I just really hope that it comes to America also, because it really is like the magic conventions that we've all grown up in love now that the general public can see and enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good show.
Seems like there's some other shows that have come and gone in Las Vegas during this past year, too.
That's Copperfield kind of became committed to staying in Vegas for a while this year.
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, I know he came out, I guess he was...
He did?
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you finished that sentence.
You know, I just love those Bill Kaplan censorship guys, by the way. All those guys that write this stuff down, they do a great job censoring our jokes.
So funny that I just posted something about, you know, there was an article about David Copperfield becoming the first billionaire magician. He's like 800 million now. Mm-hmm. And somebody was saying, no one to leave it to, and didn't even know he had any children. And somebody said, yeah, he's got one. And then somebody said, he's got two. And I had to post something. Here are their names, and here's who the models' names are that they're with. And then David has to say he's coming out.
Did somebody fart?
Has to go to the conventions. He's like trying to lay back, play politically correct. We don't care.
We're all trying to be quiet on these awkward ones here. Yeah. But those censors on the Bill Kalush transcript did an incredible job making sure the content on these episodes are transcribed correctly.
Well, David's certainly been successful there at the MGM, and I think he was one of the first magicians I saw on TV. He had a Super Bowl commercial this year.
Every magician in Vegas now has successfully been able to master the four-wall entertainment version of Las Vegas. If you cannot do that, you will not survive there. Even the gambling booking, like the sports betting halls now, are four-walled.
Really?
It's a completely different, you know.
Wow.
Back when I was a kid, Vegas, we used to bury the bodies only 10 feet away from the MGM. That was not my Johnny Thompson impression, by the way.
I don't know what that was.
But don't do it again.
But yeah, David came out on the Today Show right after that, like early this year, and he was talking about he needed a break. He just stopped creating for a while. He went off to the island. He stayed there. Now he's back, and obviously he's doing well. He couldn't afford to stay at the MGM, so that's awesome.
David has an incredible show. He has at least about, if you haven't seen his show within the last year, he's added about an hour of new content to the show.
Really?
Oh, I think that.
Yeah, there is a ton of new material there, and he's adding a lot more effects.
I'm going to have to make it out there to see it.
That sounds great.
I think I may be going out there maybe the next month or so, you know, of course, Chris Angel's going to be having shoulder surgery. And during that time, for about 8 weeks,
you're standing in.
Recover. Well, Banachek's going to be one. I'm going to go out maybe and spend a little bit of time, carry his water or something, you know, kind of see if I can hang out backstage.
Cool. But
I asked him about that, and he said, well, actually, I'm only going to be doing like 15 minutes, you know. I think Kristen Lambert's going to be doing some other stuff as well. You know, she's been doing some large illusions and doing a great job. But mainly it's the Cirque show. But they're going to have – and I'd forgotten. There's another fellow who's a comedian.
Russ Merlin.
Is it Russ Merlin?
I heard he was going to be in,
okay.
In this replacement.
That rings a bell. I think that may be the name. And it seems like –
he does this thing with the masks. It's very funny.
Where's Russ
from? When is he going to be on hiatus?
It's going to be starting in mid-January. Starting in mid-January, I believe.
Maybe I'll go see the show then.
it's a good Cirque show. I haven't seen it in a while, but it was a good show. So anyhow, yeah, that's going to be a little bit different here for the first part of the year. I guess Penn and Teller are going to continue in their theater. They continue to change their show, yeah. Kind of in and out with different things. Oh, I was going to say, Murray Sawchuk has got a very funny show, very good. I think Chris Randall had joined them just a few months ago with their live show.
If you want to see an incredible Cirque show and a magician, go see the Michael Jackson One Show at the Mirage.
Yes.
With Xavier Nady. I'm saying that wrong. I can't get anything right tonight. But Xavier Nadar, he's a French magician. He was on French Got Talent, and he's one of the main characters in the Michael Jackson
Show. I saw him at Magic Live.
Incredible acts.
Yeah. I think he's booked for the combined.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
In St. Louis.
And if you go see the show that week that he's booked at the combined convention, Silly Billy is his understudy. one day that'll be good.
Yeah,
maybe we know somebody that knows Silly Billy that can help us out.
I'm just waiting for his book
Xavier
to come out.
Xavier Nader, if you go see him, if you're in Las Vegas, it's an incredible performer. You know, he probably has 2 hours of incredible theater performance on YouTube, and it's all amazing.
And it's all original, unique, completely weird stuff. Really cool.
Isn't that great? That's a nice thing to remind ourselves. This guy and the Koreans, you know, they're really doing new stuff. Even Nothing to Hide has a lot of new methods, a lot of new effects. So there really is some good new stuff that's happening in magic. It's not just the same old stuff.
It's inspiring. You're right. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it sounds like that we're about to wrap again. Sorry that Chase Goforth couldn't join us. So,
yeah.
But glad that all of you guys were here to for this end of the year wrap and kind of a podcast, not just a WRAP, but also an RAP. So,
well, it's good to talk to you guys again, and I assure you we will do it again as soon as possible. Once we get the ball rolling with the new site and kind of figure out our plan and our schedule, I'll be in touch and we'll try to do these more often.
Yeah, cool. Very
guys,
good.
Guys, it was great
it's
talking
really
everyone.
Fun. Yeah. This was a lot of fun tonight.
And it has been. It's been great. So, for the magic word, that was Dodd Vickers, David Kay, and Cameron Ramsey. This is Scotty out.
Yo.